How can we grow in the knowledge of God? And we're seeing that today, that there is productive and useful knowledge. There is a fruitful knowledge of God, and that as we grow in Christ-like character, this helps you, it helps the believer to better know Christ relationally and accomplish great things for Christ.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Have you ever felt like you have been trapped in a vicious circle? Was it a vicious circle? That is what, where it's just like bad begets worse, and so on. And it just seems to keep going around and round and round, never improving, never getting better. Evil begets evil. Anger begets anger. Worse begets worse still. We see this sometimes in our personal lives, where maybe there's someone who has said something or done something that is harmful or hurtful to you. And so you respond back in kind with that. You say something harmful or hurtful to that person. And then that person, then how do they respond? Do they like that? No, then they get angry and then they hurt you back. And this just seems to continue. Again, it becomes a vicious circle. Probably all of us at one time or another have found ourselves trapped in something like that. We see it on the personal level like that. We also see it on a global level, don't we? Where nations against nations, people groups against people groups. Well, they did this to us, so we're doing this to strike back. Well, because they struck back, well, we need to do this to pay them back. And well, they did that, so now we need to pay that back. We need to retaliate. And it just goes on and on and on. Right? What we call a vicious circle. We've all seen that. We've all experienced that. But I want to talk to you about something here today, which is the other side of that coin. Besides a vicious circle, did you know there's also a thing called the virtuous circle? The virtuous circle. That is where good begets good. Love begets love. And these things, and it continues then in this circle of things getting better and better rather than worse and worse. We see it on a personal level, don't we? Where someone is kind to you, says something good to you. And so you respond in kind to that. And it grows the relationship. So we see this virtuous circle on a personal level. We've experienced that. Now, I'm not so sure about the global level of that, of the virtuous circle. I don't see a lot of that in our world today, do you? But I know that one day it will be like that, just not today. So we've experienced the pain of a vicious circle, but we can also know the joy of a virtuous circle. You might think, well, what does that have to do with our message today as we're talking about knowing God? Well, I want to suggest to you that there is kind of a virtuous circle that can take place in our relationship with God through Christ, through our knowledge of Christ. That knowledge of Christ leads to growth in Christ-like character. And then growth in Christ-like character leads to a deeper knowledge of Christ. And then a deeper knowledge of Christ leads to further growth in Christ-like character, which leads to a deeper knowledge of Christ, and so on. And it continues then like that. A virtuous circle of the knowledge of Christ, to know God in Christ. So we're continuing here with our series then in knowing God. What does it mean to know God? And when we speak of knowledge of God or the knowledge of Christ, we're not talking about information, knowledge about God. Now that's part of our growth in knowledge of God, knowledge of Christ. But it isn't just knowledge about God. It's knowledge of God. It's a personal relationship. Now, we need to know certain things, have knowledge about God in order to grow in knowledge of God. But knowledge about and knowledge of are not the same thing. So we want to talk then today about how can we grow in the knowledge of God. And we're seeing then today that there is productive and useful knowledge. There is a fruitful knowledge of God. And that as we grow in Christ-like character, this helps you, it helps the believer to better know Christ relationally and accomplish great things for Christ. So I'll make clear, when I say accomplishing great things for Christ, now these may be things that the world may never not acknowledge as being great, but God says they are great. These are things that are of lasting, eternal value. So as we grow in Christ-like character, we grow in our knowledge of Christ. It becomes a more and more productive and useful and fruitful knowledge or relationship with Christ in our character and in what we do for Him that brings honor to Him and glory to Him. It is a virtuous circle then. I'm going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 15 today. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 15. Now, before we look at that passage, a little context here. The Apostle Peter is writing to a church to warn them against the influx of false teachers and false teachings, warning against that and encouraging them to hold firm in the truth which is in Christ, in the gospel truth. Stay away from wrong doctrines, but also even a wrong concept of knowledge. To have the right knowledge, which is knowledge of Christ, knowledge about Christ and knowledge of Christ. As he makes clear to us, as we've seen before, though, God has given you and me, as believers in Jesus, he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Isn't that good to know? You know, that whatever we need to live a good life, a virtuous life, and to know Christ deeply, intimately, has been given to us. We lack for nothing. But of course, we need to apply what God has given us. But we do. We will live a spiritually vital life, a godly life, which is pleasing to Him. Everything we need for that, He's given to us. We're also told that we are the recipients of God's great and precious promises, that we have eternal hope in Christ. So with that in mind then, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. There Peter continues then and he says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." So as we look a little closer at our text here, first then we see then First, that there is a charge or a command to grow in Christ-like qualities. He says, for this reason, what reason? For the reason that he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness, and that we have his great and precious promises of eternal hope. For that reason, then, let us do what? Let us make every effort to supplement your faith with these 7 Christ-like qualities that he mentions here. There, 7 Christ-like qualities of character and behavior. Make every effort to supplement or add to your faith these things. See, our relationship with God, well, it starts with faith, doesn't it? Absolutely. It's faith in Christ and who he is and what he has done for us, his perfect holy life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his substitutionary death, that is, he died for my sins, for yours on the cross. He defeated sin and death by dying for sin, by being buried, and then rising from the dead. And we put our trust and our confidence in that, in him. That's our faith. Our faith in him, in who he is, in what he did, and in all that he is going to do for us. That is our faith. But now we need to supplement or add on to our faith with godly qualities or Christ-like characteristics. And he says we are to make every effort. Now, does this mean that the Christian life, how many of you have discovered that the Christian life is challenging at times? Anybody? And why is it so challenging? Because the call is so high, isn't it? But yet he has said what? He has given you, he has given me everything that we need for that virtuous godly life. He has given us all that we need for that. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? Right? But we do need to make an effort. Now, wait a minute. I thought the Christian life was all about faith. Well, it is. And I want to tell you, it starts with faith, doesn't it? But it doesn't end there when we're saved, does it? It starts with faith, it continues with faith, and it's going to be faith that leads us all the way through, isn't it? So it's faith in Christ, but then it's also what? Faith in Christ's continuing ministry to us, his power as given to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. When we become believers, the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that God the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence within us, to indwell us. And he is the one who empowers us then for godly living and righteousness. So not a one of us, not me, not any one of us here, grows in Christian character, in Christ-like qualities, simply through our own efforts. That doesn't work. It has to be something that God the Holy Spirit does in us, right? The Scripture calls that the fruit of the Spirit as he develops godly character, those Christ-like qualities in us. So it's God's work, and we receive that by faith, don't we? But yet, there is an aspect of it that you and I are responsible for, our account. It doesn't just happen magically or automatically, does it? This growth in Christ-like character and conduct, it doesn't happen automatically. It does happen as a result of God's Spirit at work in us, but we need to work with the Spirit as he is working in us, don't we? That's faith. That's obedience. That's obedience to him, obedience to his word. And so we need to make every effort. Jesus makes it clear that while our life is our spiritual life, our salvation is a gift, he calls on us to count the cost, knowing that what? Following him is not always an easy thing to do. And there is the hard effort that we need to make to cooperate with the work of God in our lives. So for this reason, make every effort to supplement or add to your faith these qualities. And if you count them up there, then you'll see that there are seven Christ-like qualities that Peter lists there. Anybody find it a coincidence that he has seven? Right. Now, he could have said any number of these, and there are more Christ-like virtues or qualities, but he mentions seven. Why? Because in the Scripture, seven was considered to be what? The number of completion or fulfillment. And so he lists seven Christ-like qualities here for us. So we need to build on the foundation of Christ, of our faith in Christ in our lives. We need to add that to then these qualities, these Christ-like qualities, to make every effort to do so by the Spirit. These qualities of virtue, of knowledge, of self-control, of steadfastness, of godliness, of brotherly affection, and of love. The first here, virtue. What is virtue? Well, it is moral goodness or excellence. God is good, isn't he? It means what? He's holy, he's righteous, he's morally good, he's morally virtuous. And so if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if we are going to grow in him, if we're going to become more like him, well, we're going to become more good, morally virtuous. But again, this is God's goodness. And it's also God's definition of goodness and moral excellence, isn't it? We don't take our cues from the world, right? With what the world says is good, is right, is true. We can go off a lot of bad paths doing that, right? Getting our cues from the world with that. So we get our definition of what is good, what is right, what is true from what God says. And how do we know what God has said? Well, he has revealed it in his word, hasn't he? So we are to grow in moral goodness or excellence. We're also then to grow in knowledge. Again, there is knowledge. There are certain doctrines we need to know and understand. But here I think the emphasis is on spiritual knowledge, the knowledge that the Holy Spirit imparts to us as we grow in our faith and as it's focused on the Word of God. So virtue, knowledge, self-control. What is self-control? That is our passions under control. I think this is one of the most challenging aspects of being a follower of Christ, is that control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? It's that we have the passions of our lives under control, that we are submitted to the control of the Spirit rather than ourselves. Self-control, I think we might more accurately say, we could call it Spirit control, isn't it? It's Spirit control, being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Then there is a steadfastness. What is steadfastness? Well, it means to stay constant under difficulty or pressure or trouble, to persevere, to keep going. You know, that's one of the scriptures, one of the things that the scriptures emphasizes is that being a follower of Jesus Christ means if our faith is real, then we need to and we will persevere or continue in that in spite of difficulties. Now, have you ever failed Christ? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you want to, you can. But have you ever failed Christ? I'll raise my hand, okay? I have failed Christ. And I hate to say this, but I have a feeling before my time on this earth is through again, I will fail again at some time. I will fail him, right? That's what it means in this time to be human in these bodies, right? We will fail him sometimes. But we continue, though. And again, this is a work of God's Spirit in our lives. We persevere. We continue through difficulty, through hardship, through challenge. This is steadfastness. Virtue, moral excellence, knowledge, spiritual knowledge imparted of us by the Spirit, of the Word of God. Self-control, our passions under the Spirit's control, Spirit control. Steadfastness, staying consistent under difficulty, challenges, and hardships. But then some others then. Godliness, brotherly affection, love. Godliness means it's an attitude or a disposition or a reverence toward God and the things of God. that being a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, means being a student who is learning to imitate his or her teacher. So being a faithful follower of Jesus means your life is dedicated to the imitation of Christ. The imitation of Christ, that would be a great title for a book. I think I'll write that. So some of you are laughing, you know, because it's already been written. Probably far better than I would ever write. So the imitation of Christ. That's what our lives are about as followers, is becoming more and more like Him, becoming more godly. A reverence toward God and the things of God, an imitation of God, godliness, brotherly affection. Brotherly affection is what? Is, you know, as a follower of Jesus, it says one of the things that happened when you believed in Christ is you were placed into, you were baptized into the body of Christ. That is, you were placed into a family. God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus is our big brother, and you and I, we are brothers and sisters in the family of God. We are children of God who are brothers and sisters of one another. And so we are told to have a brotherly, a family affection. In fact, Jesus says we're to love one. Well, we'll get to that one in just a moment here. But this brotherly affection means what? It's a family care for one another. Now, some of you, if you come from a healthy family, you understand what that family affection is, what it means, and you understand what it means to have that care for one another. That's that practical service, works of support for one another, right? Now, if you don't come from such a healthy family, that can be a little hard to struggle. What does it mean, this family affection? This brotherly affection. But what it is because we are united together as the family of Jesus, as the body of Christ, we are to care for one another, to have an affection for one another, a preference for one another, to take care of one another, one another's needs and concerns. You know, each one of us are individually accountable to God for our own lives. But He has also, though, said that we are to care for one another, to help one another, to assist one another. And I want to tell you, it's like, I love this church. I want you to know that. I love this church. There are many, many wonderful things about this church. And you know, one of the things that I have seen over the years, I think that is true of this church, is how this church comes to, when there is a need, when there's a problem, when there's a concern of some kind, how the people of this church come together to meet that need, to care for that person. You know, I'm seeing that right now. My sister just went through a surgery, a knee replacement surgery. Anybody ever had that? I know some of you have. A knee replacement or hip replacement surgery. Not a fun thing. And it's not an easy recovery, is that? But I'm seeing then how she has had that and how so many of you have reached out to her and are coming alongside with practical works of service to help her in that. See, that's brotherly affection. That's that family care right there. Practical caring for one another. So, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, family care. And then finally then, love. Love is the greatest of the virtues, isn't it? Love is kind of what holds everything all together then, doesn't it? In fact, Jesus said what Jesus was once asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he said what? Well, it's to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of your being. That is the greatest commandment of all. And the second is like it, what? To love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus, though, says, a new commandment I give you, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. So the greatest commandment is loving God with all of our being. When we get that right, everything else is going to fall into place, isn't it? But then when it comes to our relationships with other persons, it says then, well, love your neighbor as yourself. The way you love yourself, well, you should love others. But then Jesus says, well, we're going to turn it up a couple of notches here, actually more than a couple of notches. It says, what, as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. That here in the body of Christ, as fellow believers in Jesus Christ, the way that Jesus loves us, we're to love one another. How did Jesus love us? Ultimately, unconditionally, sacrificially, didn't he? Agape, there's that agape love, which is that self-sacrificing, ultimate love that puts the need and the concerns of others above ourselves and is willing to do whatever it is, whatever it takes, for the well-being of another person. Now, can I be honest with you? I have not yet arrived at the love of Jesus yet for others. I love you guys. I do. All right? I do. But I can't say I've quite arrived at the as Jesus loves you, do I love you. But I'm endeavoring to grow in that. I'm endeavoring to grow in that. Are you? I've got a ways to go. I know. So these are seven Christ-like qualities or virtues here. So we're charged to grow in them. Because God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and we are the recipients of His great and precious promises, make every effort to supplement your faith with these seven godly, these Christ-like virtues. Make every effort to do that. And when you do that, there are benefits. There are benefits of these Christ-like qualities. What are they? Well, as we see in the text, they're what? There is a productive and useful knowledge of Christ. There is confidence then in your salvation in Christ. And there is entrance into the eternal kingdom of Christ. It says, when these virtues are yours and are increasing, what? You will not be unproductive or useless in your knowledge of Christ. You will have a fruitful life, a fruitful Christian life. Bearing fruit, being productive, means both our character and our conduct will be more and more in line with the character and the conduct of Jesus. Character indeed. But if we are lacking in these qualities, if we're not growing in these virtues, then it says what? We're like a become nearsighted or blind, and we forget that we have been forgiven for our sins. Anybody here nearsighted? I am. I can see you all pretty well right now, but do you know why I can see you well? I've got my glasses on. I take these off, and guess what? You suddenly see, I saw faces. I see Cindy and Dave and Linda right there. I see Ralph there. Let's see. I see Maureen in the back there and Jim and Dave and Stephanie and Tony and Don and Joy and a whole bunch of people. There's even Barb. Barb likes to be the center of attention, by the way. Barb, would you stand up and go? Actually, I think she's probably, no, her, no, actually Mary Beth. She, Mary Beth, is Mary Beth here? Mary Beth, stand up and be the center of attention here, right? Yeah, she hates that, right? So now this is what it means to show brotherly affection and love, right? I'm showing them my love by doing this, by pointing them out how wonderful they are, and they just love it and appreciate it so much, don't they? So, no. But I can see you, but guess what? I take these off and all of a sudden, uh-oh, Mary Beth, you're kind of a greenish blob back there to me now. Barb, you're kind of a white or cream-colored blob there, yeah. That's what I see. And Maureen, I know you're there, but I have no clue. Yeah, who that would possibly be there. Why? See, I need these in order to see clearly. And the scripture says when we are not growing in the Christ-like qualities, in these, when we're not supplementing our faith with that, it's like we become blind then, blind to Christ's work in our lives and what He's done for us. We forget that He's forgiven us of our sins and that He has called us to a new life of following Him. So don't be like that. Don't be like that nearsighted or blind person. In fact, he goes on to even say there, he says then, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It says, whoever lacks these is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his sins. Then verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. See, the reality is God knows. God knew you and God loved you and God had purposes to bless you even before the world was created. He already knew you and loved you and had purpose to bring you to himself through faith in Jesus Christ. And the scripture says then that as we are growing in our qualities, in these Christ-like qualities, then we can have confidence that this is making sure that our calling and our election is sure, is true. We can have confidence then in that. Scripture is very clear that before anything was made, God had already purposed to bless his people, to call you and to make you like him, make you like Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's some question or debate about exactly how does this calling and election, predestination, how does that all work? Well, it's actually a very, very simple thing to understand. No, actually it isn't. It's a very challenging thing, isn't it, here? And we won't get into all of that here now. But suffice to say this, that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God has loved you from before time, which doesn't make sense really, but that's the best we can do, right? God has known you and loved you and chosen to bless you in Christ. And so when we are growing in Christ, it brings confidence then in our salvation. Be more diligent to confirm your calling and election. And if you practice these things, you will never fall away into apostasy, the apostasy that accompanies false belief then. Peter, though, knew that this would give them confidence to know that they were, in fact, going to enter the eternal kingdom of Christ. We don't enter the eternal kingdom of Christ because of good works, do we? It's faith. It's faith in Jesus. Well, we do by good works, just not our good works, the good works of Jesus, right? So we enter by faith in Jesus and what he has done for us. And so we can have confidence then in that and know that we will enter into the eternal kingdom of Christ when we see these virtues growing and developing in us through our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Finally, then, he says, you need a little reminder. Anybody here need a reminder of things you already know? I need it constantly. You know, I went to Bible college. I went to seminary. I've been involved in ministry a number of years. And I got to tell you, I don't think a day goes by that I don't need a little reminder of something from God's Word. Am I alone in that, or can anybody else here relate to me with that, right? So he says, I want to remind you. Verse 12, I tend to remind you always of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth. I know many of you, I know you know these things. I know you're established in the truth, but you need to be reminded of them. I know them too, but I need to be reminded of them constantly. And then he acknowledges, though, that he knows that his time, Peter knows, his time is short. He says, I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Jesus made it clear to him that Peter was going to die for Christ. And Peter knew that that time was short. Now, whether this refers to that time right after the resurrection of Jesus, when Jesus told Peter this, or maybe there had been some other more recent revelation, we don't know. But clearly, God has made it clear, Jesus has made it clear, that he was going to be giving up his life for Jesus. And Peter knew that time was soon. So he wanted to make every effort that even after my departure, after he has left them and gone to be with the Lord, that you may be able at any time to recall these things. So he knew his time was short, but in the meantime, he was pouring out his life for the spiritual benefit of others. And the reality is, for each one of us as followers of Jesus, we don't know when our life, our time in these bodies, in this world, will be up, do we? We don't know. So in the meantime, then, like Peter, let's be reminded of these things, but also, though, make every effort then, too, to pour out our lives for the benefit and the well-being of others as well, as Peter did for those believers then. So I'd ask, so what? What am I to do with this here today? Well, I want to remind, speaking of reminders, I want to remind you where we started, which is this, that growth in Christ-like character, these virtues, helps the believer to better know Christ and to accomplish great things for Christ. It's a virtuous circle, folks. As we grow in Christ-like character, our knowledge of Jesus grows deeper. But as our knowledge of Jesus grows deeper, we grow more and more in Christ-like character in these virtues. It's a virtuous circle. So I might ask then, conclude by just asking the question, are you living in a vicious circle or a virtuous circle? Which would you rather live in? The vicious circle of bad begetting worse yet? Or of good, of the knowledge of Christ, of growth in Christ, begetting greater knowledge of Christ, greater virtues in Christ? So supplement your faith with Christ-like qualities. And as you grow in them, you will grow in your knowledge of Christ. Your knowledge of Christ will lead to a fruitful, a useful, and productive faith in your character and indeed in great things. And as I said, you will do great things for Christ. The world may not think it's great, but God will say that it is. That is, you will do things that have eternal, lasting value and worth as we grow in these virtues and grow in our knowledge of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we are the recipients of his great and precious promises. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything that we need for spiritual vitality and godliness. I pray, Father, that we would make, through the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, that we would make every effort, to supplement our faith with these precious Christ-like qualities and all that you give us, that you command us in your word, that we might better know Christ, and that as we better know Christ, Lord, that we, Lord, would grow in these qualities, that our faith would be useful and productive, fruitful for the glory of Jesus. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.